Hi, this is Matt Searles talking through some of the questions I've given you following on from the weekend away on the heart. Let me just summarise the first session very briefly. We looked at Elijah and the prophets of Baal, and essentially it was like a comparison website. Elijah was saying, look at Baal, who we've seen was like an idol, a rival for God. And Elijah said, look at God and compare the two. Baal promised so much, but actually the demands he made were dehumanising. He promised so much but gave nothing. God, on the other hand, was able to deliver. And in fact, God could deliver the security, the pleasure that Baal was promising. And we said that was what idols are like. They promise us so many things, sometimes good things, but they don't deliver and we end up serving them, whereas God himself serves us. And so the questions I've given you, some questions to help us identify some of these heart issues for us. Questions at the top: what makes you angry? What is your greatest fear? What is your deepest desire? What is your most besetting sin? As I said on the weekend, I'm writing as someone who struggles with these things myself, but helpful to think through what drives us. These get to the heart of who we are. You could talk personally, or here are some examples if you wanted. Someone who responds very badly to criticism. Someone who lives for social media and Facebook likes, gets angry when they experience travel delays. Always put sport ahead of responsibility to family and friends. Someone who uses pornography, alcohol or drugs to escape from the stress of life. Now, all of those are sort of surface type behaviours. But what I'm encouraging us to try and do is to think what might be driving those things. Because it's our heart that drives us. And so just stopping a behaviour is hard. So try and think what might drive that. So we said that responding badly to criticism might be how we view ourselves ultimately. Maybe we're always longing for affirmation, and that's what leads us to want to be a perfectionist or struggle with criticism. It'll be different for the different things, but try and work out what might be driving it. Think what the idol promises. Why are people living for social media likes, or why is someone turning to pornography, alcohol to escape the stress of life? What's the promise of the idol? But then how does it fail to deliver? And we saw, like the prophets of Baal, how does it actually dehumanise in some way? Partly it's helping us to unmask that the things that are so tempting, if we see them in the cold light of day, we sometimes see that they promise so much but don't deliver. But then we're going to have a think, how does God deliver what the idol failed to deliver? So perhaps with pornography, maybe it's a loneliness thing or a longing for intimacy. Perhaps it could be a number of different reasons. But if it is something like that, then we might think of how God in the gospel, Jesus Christ coming to have relationship with us, that might be the answer for the thing we were searching for, but we were searching in the wrong place. Sometimes God gives us in similar ways exactly what the idol promised. Baal promised security. Find true security in the Lord. Sometimes the Lord gives it in different ways. Maybe we see that the Lord's way is better, a better form of relationship. We were looking for the wrong sort of intimacy, perhaps. And that leads us to the final question. What promise or aspect of God's character do we most need to meditate on? It'd be good to meditate on all things of God, but if there's one thing particularly we're struggling with, maybe there's one aspect of the gospel we need to meditate on and spend time thinking about. I gave the example that if it's the criticism thing and our self-worth, ultimately maybe we have a low view of ourselves and so we want others to bolster that, then perhaps it's to know the unconditional love of God in the gospel. Perhaps it's to think on that verse from Psalm 45, he is enthralled with your beauty. Maybe that's something to keep coming back to when we're tempted to be searching for self-worth elsewhere. So that's some questions from that first session. The second session, probably a slightly simpler set of questions. The summary of the session was thinking of how when we come to commands in the Christian life and obedience in the Christian life, Jesus sets it in the context of the story. When someone asks him what's the greatest command, he says, well, first understand who God is. Any command is only understandable, only worth keeping, actually, because of who God is, the God who rescued us, the God who loves us, the God who is unique and incomparable. Because of that, live for him. Love him with your heart, soul, mind and strength, and actually love your neighbour as yourself, to love God. We can't love God without loving his people. We saw that was that can be a hard thing as it increases in one sense our responsibility, but it's also a wonderful thing because we have practical opportunities to love God that whatever we do for the least of his people, whether it be a phone call, meeting a need, clearing up in unseen, hidden ways, we're not just doing for that person, we're doing it for Jesus Christ himself. And what a privilege to serve our Saviour. And so the question is to think it through, just think through anything that might be new to us. We're thinking, which of God's commands we find it hardest to want to obey? Some commands we find easy, some things we struggle with. And perhaps the answer is not so much to look at the command, but God's character. And see why, who God is and why he wants us to be like that. It's worth remembering the story when we're struggling to obey, that we were rescued by God. And this is what freedom looks like. This is how we're to live out our freedom. And so, be worth discussing in the group. I won't tell you the answers now, but how can we remember the story of God's salvation? God's people in the Old Testament were told to talk about it as they walk up and down the street. They're told to tie it on their foreheads, on the doors of their houses. We might not do that, but how can we remember what God has done for us, the context for which we live the Christian life? Worth discussing. Get really practical here. You'll probably have much better ideas than me. And then might be worth thinking, what things could we do to live out this love for God and love for neighbour? And of course, as I said, as we do these things, maybe we go and meet the needs of someone who's slightly difficult. But actually, as we do that, it's not just expressing our love for God, but God might even use it to grow our love as we do these things and discover that God uses it to help us to love him more. And then, as I said, the focus on this session is not so much looking inwards to ourselves, how is our love, but looking to God and how wonderful he is. So I'd love you to finish by thanking God and praising him for things from this passage and from both sessions. So the end, the focus is on God and his goodness to us in Jesus Christ, which is the foundation for our Christian living. That's what turns our hearts back to him. And we pray that's what will help our hearts to keep following him and pursuing him and loving him with all we have. So do finish by focusing on God and all he's done for us.